Welcome, everyone, to Vegas Revealed, episode 32.
We are talking with the rock star of the art world, Michael Goddard. He's seeing a lot of silver and black now with a new collaboration in the pro football world.
Oh, we had a great time talking with him exclusively at his home. Wait until you hear some of his stories, and we also chat about that new collaboration, all coming up on Vegas Revealed.
This episode of Vegas Revealed is brought to you by Vegas.pizza, the virtual pizzeria with homemade New York recipes and delivery straight to your door. Be sure to check them out on Instagram at Vegas.pizza. Be sure you spell it out, Vegas, D-O-T, pizza. Vegas.pizza, fresh, fast, to your door.
We are back, and it's time to talk Las Vegas. I'm Dana Roselli.
And I'm Sean McAllister. And Dana, this is like the first time in a long time we've done the podcast, not only face-to-face with each other, but also with our guest.
I know. It's really cool. I mean, we stopped by the Elvis Wedding Chapel. Remember that? Graceland.
Yeah.
That was quick, but we were very, very, you know, distant and kind of had to practice some different kinds of rules there. And we did that when we stopped by Michael Goddard's house as well. But it was just nice to kind of sit intimately for as long as we wanted and just chat.
Yeah, it's definitely a different vibe. Seeing somebody in person rather than doing a conversation over Skype or Zoom. So we're excited that we're able to do that this week. And we're also excited because here in Las Vegas, the Mirage Resort is now back open for business.
That's right. You know, we talked about it last week, and right now we're actually recording on a Thursday, and this is actually the official day that the Mirage opened. So we're seeing all the pomp and circumstance, and it's a lot of fun and exciting because it's always great to see pictures and videos of the dolphins that are at the habitat there at the Mirage.
People love those dolphins.
They do. And, you know, some people kind of know about it, others don't. But, I mean, the dolphins are always there in the back of the Mirage. And then they have the Siegfried and Roy's secret garden with some of the animals, too. But you can go back there and you can actually feed the dolphins. You can sign up for different kinds of experiences. You can watch them doing tricks. It's really cool.
But judging from the responses on social media, there's a lot of people who don't realize that the dolphins live at the Mirage.
I guess not. You and I were cracking up at this post that one of our local news organizations did, you know, that said they welcome back the dolphins. Great pictures of the dolphins there hanging out, doing some tricks. And a bunch of people that must not live here in Las Vegas, it looks like they live out of town, are like, oh, so the dolphins actually live at the Mirage? Or, yeah, that's what I'm asking. They live there? And it's like, yeah, they live there.
Like, what the hell do you think? It's not like there's some dolphin playground out in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California, and they're not, like, bussed in for the day. Of course they live there.
They do. They live there.
Like, what do people think?
I don't know.
They're not living in Lake Mead down by the Hoover Dam.
A tunnel that goes underground and then leads them back to the coast of California
for
the
weekend. Come on, people.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. People are funny, but
Jesus,
you gotta really think before you answer, which, you know, Twitter is a lot of just, a lot of people not thinking before they respond to things anyway, right?
That is the truth.
But the dolphins are great. Did a story there just about a year ago, and you know, they take really good care of the dolphins. And I must admit, like, when we went there, they were like, you know, be careful. There's going to be a lot of animal activists out there that are going to respond to you and be frustrated about the whole animals in captivity. And the only thing I can say to that is the experience there was that they were treated really well. And there's not just like one little pool. Like, it's a huge area.
It's a complex, yeah.
That goes underneath and above, and there's a lot of room, and they seem to be treated really well. And it's a great experience about teaching about, you know, water life. And that's the thing, is they have school groups through there that learn about all that stuff, marine life. And so it's a learning experience too.
And another part about the Mirage reopening that's pretty cool is that they've renamed the street that leads from Las Vegas Boulevard, the Strip, up to the front of the casino. And it is now Siegfried and Roy Drive. Of course, the Mirage is where Siegfried and Roy performed for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we recently lost Roy. It's been such a tough time. You know, during these times that we've been all suffering as well, Roy passed away a short time ago, and it's been hard on Siegfried and hard on the community that watched them just, you know, change the way shows were done. They made them big and spectacular and, you know, laid the groundwork for magic. And it just incredible duo that made such an impact in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and Siegfried Fischbacher was out there for the naming of this street, Siegfried and Roy Drive, out there. So it's nice to see that their legacy is even more cemented in Las Vegas history than it already was.
Yeah, exactly. And we're happy to have another resort casino open because it means we're moving forward. So again, the Mirage officially opened. As far as we know, no other planned openings on the Strip. I did see that the Tropicana was supposed to open, I don't know if it was September 1, and that got pushed again to like September 15th or 19th or something like that. So that's not going to open for a little while, and we'll have to keep updated on that.
Yeah. And what do you say we just jump right into this week's interview, Dana?
Yeah, it's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah. So Michael Goddard, he is the top-selling artist in all of the United States who also calls Las Vegas home. Goddard's art is instantly recognizable thanks to his wildly popular olive characters that are seen in most of his paintings.
I guarantee you have seen or bought one of Michael Goddard's paintings. We are with him right now inside his Las Vegas home.
Michael, thanks for having us over to your house.
My pleasure, my pleasure. My secret lair.
Oh, I just love it. How has quarantine been for you?
You know, it's really different. A lot of times, most of the time I'm traveling, so it's nice to actually be home so that I can create. So any time of day I can sort of get up, I set a studio up in my garage and have a lot of fun. But trying to, well, I bought some gym equipment, but I haven't really used it yet. But it's a beautiful decoration.
It is. It's nice to look at, you know?
It is.
Well, and
is.
Quarantine has kind of presented some unique opportunities.
Absolutely.
For you work-wise, and it's enabled you to really dive into the pro football world.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. When I first heard about the Raiders coming to Las Vegas, of course, I got really excited because they're going to be right here in mm-hmm. Vegas. And they had done the groundbreaking and all that, and I'd watched some of the episodes of From the Ground Up, which is super cool. And then I thought to myself, you know what, I want to be part of this somehow. Yeah. So I made an appointment with, it was the best meeting I ever had because everybody in the room was named Mark, except for one person. I had Mark Badain, Mark Scher, Mark Davis, and sat in there and just said, you know, hey guys, I'd love to work with you. And, you know, if you need help with anything at all, artistically, that's what I do. No money, nothing like that. I just want to be part of it and help you guys create the best thing that I can. So I started doing some little projects for them over a few months. And they called me one day and said, listen, we would love for you to consider curating the art for the entire stadium, you know, handling everything from lighting, framing, the art. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that sounds good. I said, but, you know, the obvious issue is that I'm traveling. And they go, oh, no, we're willing to work around your travel. So I looked at my wife, my jaw dropped, and I said, we can't pass this opportunity up. It's my chance to leave my footprint here. And then, of course, COVID hit, and I've had nothing but time to really delve into it. And it's funny because had COVID not happened, then obviously I'd be out on cruise ships and would not have been able to spend the time that I needed to for something that's so epic and important. And so back, I want to say 7-8 months ago, they hired me on to just kind of work with all their different people that from tour management to, you know, the community and all the things that are going in and out of the stadium. So basically, I'm their interior decorator, we'll say.
Oh, my God.
Pretty cool interior decorator.
Oh, my gosh. Right? What an honor, right?
Oh, my gosh. I told them it is like working with the pharaohs of Egypt, that you guys have built a pyramid. We know the stadium's going to be here for hundreds of years, and millions of people are going to see it. There's 65,000 seat capacity, I believe. And, you know, not only is it sporting events, or not just football, but it's obviously, you know, concerts and you know, soccer tournaments and all, not tournaments, but soccer events. Mm-hmm. Just, it's going to be just epic. So to be part of that is a thrill. Sometimes I can't sleep at night and I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm pinching myself.
Through this opportunity, not only are you leaving your mark on Las Vegas, right, but you're helping other Las Vegas artists do the same thing.
Absolutely. When I first sat down with Mark Davis, he said, you know, God, let me kind of share what my vision is. So we talked for, you know, many hours. And it's really about the community. It's absolutely about the community. Everything about that stadium is. And it's just really nice to be able to have that sort of a focus that is going to make it unique from all other stadiums. The art that's going in there, obviously, we're pulling from local talent, and that's what is a really a big difference that is going to be something really cool to see. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you have people that are coming from everywhere. They're coming from Europe. Maybe it's their first football game, but it is Las Vegas. And I was telling someone the other day, I said, you know, even driving down the strip, you see the M&M store and McDonald's, and it's lit up like it's a neon casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
true.
And that's the way we have to do it. So for me, it's a matter of trying to bring the absolute best that I possibly can, because everyone's seen everything. Mm-hmm. And so when you have the biggest, baddest stadium ever built in the world, and it's Vegas, you know, from coming to a Knights game, every hockey player wants to play in Vegas. All the fans, it is a show. And this will be no less than that. It's just going to be incredible. People are going to be blown away.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when you think football stadium, even the tickets, sometimes, you know, art doesn't really cross your mind. I love how they're bringing art. I mean, I feel like it's a way to bring kind of everything together, you know? I mean, people that are interested in all sorts of different things.
Yeah, absolutely. So with the ticket artists, every one of them is a local artist, and some of the artists I found in Container Park or the Art District, but we have an incredible pool of talent right here in Vegas. Everyone from people that show in galleries all over the place to people that are, you know, doing amazing graffiti art to decorate our downtown. Mm-hmm. So it's it was exciting, especially to get them involved, somebody who never thought that they would be get to, yeah, you know, be involved in that. So, but that was also quite a process.
Yeah.
Because artists are a strange breed, as you probably imagine. So, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So, Goddard, how can you help my art career? Well, let me see your business card. Well, what's that? Oh, okay, that's where we're at. But, you know, incredible talent. So, that was the first job that I had with them, really, was to help find some art to create the tickets. And Mark Davis's idea was to have every one of those tickets say something about the experience of living here in Vegas. Mm-hmm. The main focus of it is the new stadium, of course, so that's sort of the subject. And, it is the subject. Mm-hmm. But different parts from other people's perspective. You know, I mean, there's 100 ways that you can, you know, tell somebody something, and art's the same way. Mm-hmm. And some really, really unique expression and visual. Well, you know me, I paint olives, so it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but. But you make them look so cool. Listen, and you were showing us some 3D layering things that you're doing. So is this new for you? Or what?
Well, you know, I got my hands in a lot of different pieces of pie. So I have my own art, of course, which I sell to the cruise lines with my olives and all that stuff. I have another company where we do the production for artists and photographers like National Geographic. So I do all their printing for all their galleries. So it's amazing. You walk into our office and you see a photograph that's, you know, 20 feet long, that's somebody was in a tree for 2 months and took a picture of it. And then we have another business where we do laser cutting on special materials for indie, mm-hmm, which is really cool. I also have another business that we print all the faces of slot machines. So a lot of almost all the casinos that have slot machines here in town, we do all that stuff for them. There's
You're
a bunch
busy.
Of stuff going on, yeah.
Man.
But, you know, when all this happened, you know, February, March, we totally shifted gears. Obviously, the cruise line's not going very well. Mm-hmm. You can't really get on a ship right now and feel safe. But so I shifted from sort of that sort of falling out, and then we took our laser cutters and we started making COVID masks. So we made them for the city. I think we made a couple thousand for the fire department here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of like the alcohol company switching over to sanitizer.
Right.
So that's, but it's been fun. And one of the Max Art Productions basically takes hobbyist photographers, artists, and they come in and we help them produce their artwork onto either metal or canvas or whatever. So I already had a pretty good pool of artists that I had access to, and so that was very helpful with the Raiders thing.
Cool. And people have gotten their first glimpses of the art that you've curated. The season ticket holders got a pretty impressive delivery method for their season tickets. Yeah. What's been the reaction you've heard so far?
Absolutely incredible. I actually didn't know that they had been sent out. I was told that they had been sent out. And all of a sudden, someone posted, I think on Instagram, "Oh my gosh, Goddard, I love your ticket, your game ticket." I'm like, huh? You know? And then someone else sent me a video, and I watched them open the box. So you open up the box. Inside is a mini stadium. I mean, they went all out to do this for everyone. And then I was like, wait, show me the other tickets. I want to see, you know.
Yeah.
And first thing I did was talk to the other artists who we've been talking about it. Kind of. It's like Fight Club. First rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club.
Right.
So absolutely, everyone signed a non-disclosure agreement before even being considered to do it, because we wanted to let the Raiders share it in the way that, you know, you know, that they wanted to. And so that happened. So I started looking at the tickets through these videos, and I did a couple like screenshots off my phone. Mm-hmm. And then I called up the artist and said, "Oh, I got something to show you." And literally, I would get a phone call, and they're crying on the phone. "Oh my God, I can't believe this is happening." I go, "Listen, me too. Don't make me cry."
Yeah.
But you know, it's exciting when you think about the tickets. Not only are they doing that, but you know, game day, there'll be posters, free posters of the ticket art as well as the program. Mm-hmm. But the coolest thing about it is this local artist, except for one, Todd Marinovich, who is a Raiders alumni. He actually did some of the art as well.
Wow.
That's so cool. Oh man, and it's really different. It's so it's awesome stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's especially, obviously, special this year because it's the first year, but also because a lot of the folks that have tickets can't actually go to the game. So to do this for them and make them still feel like, thank you for getting the season tickets. We'll be back. We'll be bigger. We'll be stronger.
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, rumor has it that these the tickets and the box and all that are already skyrocketing through eBay because they're a huge collector's item. This is the inaugural year.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really cool is when you visit the stadium, you'll be able to see the actual paintings that were made to make those tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a labor of love. When I am doing something, this is how I explained it to the artist. I said, you know, if I'm doing an album cover for someone, I said, I know it's going to be seen by millions of people for probably 30 years. They're going to download it on iTunes or whatever. So you slow things down a little bit. It's not like doing a logo for, you know, so-and-so's vacuum cleaner business. Mm-hmm. So all of the rest, I mean, the artists were like stressing it. They're like, oh, is this okay? Is this okay? And, you know, I kind of just wanted to give them as much freedom as possible and let their own, you know, emotions and feelings come through. But it's every artist bringing their absolute best. Mm-hmm. You know, even for me, you know, I have my art in galleries all over the place, and millions of people see my art every year. It's cool. But when you see the ticket art, I mean, that's going to be seen by 65,000 people, you know, perhaps at every event. You got 20 events a year. It's going to be there for 10 years. So it's going to be something really neat to see. And the artists are thrilled beyond belief.
Yeah.
You know, me too. Me
Huge.
Too. I'm excited.
And is this an ongoing partnership, like beyond the inaugural season?
It is. I'm going to we couldn't do everything this year because of the financial problems that COVID has put on many businesses, so we're going to be looking at it into next year too, but it's going to look it's going to be finished.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the ticket art. Well, listen, it's still like Fight Club, so there's lots of exciting things that are coming that I really can't discuss yet.
Well, we like that. That means it's extra special. When you can't say anything, you know it's good.
I got this is so funny. So when I first meet Mark, and Tom, I told them, I said, listen, I've got this design that I would love for you to look at, and it's sort of, you know, the Raiders welcoming Las Vegas, vice versa. Really super cool piece. And so I showed it to them, and they're all super excited. Oh my gosh, Goddard, we want to use this for our programs, for our tickets, and all this other stuff. We want to make t-shirts. And I go, awesome. They said, have you shown it to anybody? I go, you know what? Only one person. And they go, can't use it. I'm a what? And they go, we don't want anyone to know. We don't want the NFL. We don't want to let the word get out to the news, anything. We really want to keep it hush-hush until we're ready, because we have this master plan of getting all this local talent, and we're going to be doing some really fun things. So I'm still kind of, you know, in quiet mode. It's kind of weird, right? So, you know, even when I've been allowed to talk about certain things, I'm like, am I allowed to say that? You know? But super, super, super excited, because I think people are just going to be blown away. Mm-hmm. Absolutely blown away.
And how long have you lived here now?
Well, my history with Vegas goes way back. I lived in California. That's where I was born. But my grandparents, my grandfather, worked here at the Nevada test site. Mm-hmm. So since the early 60s, I came out here as a toddler. And then eventually my parents had split up. My mom stayed in California. My dad lived here, moved to Vegas. And I went to Clark High School. Later, I went to UNLV. Discovered something called gambling, and I got sent back to California. and then I moved here permanently from California in 2003 to make this my full-time home. And that was mainly because we have such great tax benefits here.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about. When you were walking us around the house and stuff, we were chatting about obviously what a great place it is to live and make home. And mm-hmm. also all the other people that live here too. Right. I mean, Vegas is a great town, tons of celebrities and performers, and some of our listeners from around the world are always interested in that stuff. So, I mean, I know you've got your kind of core group that you hang with here too.
Yeah. it's fun. And I'll tell you, Dana, I still get asked, so do they have grocery stores in Las Vegas?
Right.
Do they have schools? I'm like, yeah, actually what we do have, we have Lake Mead, we have Mount Charleston, we have any kind of activity you could think of at any time of day. We are 3 hours from 3.5 hours from LA, 5 hours from the beach. I mean, literally, it's just a great town with everything. Great schools, you know. I don't know. I love this town.
Yeah.
Love it. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else.
No. It's cool. And then this is always puts a lot of pressure on people, because I'm asking you, but like, what's one of the coolest stories? Like, if you could tell our listeners, like, something, just a cool Vegas moment for you over the years.
Cool Vegas.
I know it might take a minute to think, but I'm sure there's been many, but.
Well, sift through them. I know, because you've had a million.
It's.
Is there ever a night out or a cool, I don't know, a lunch or something behind the scenes that
I'll tell you a funny one. Okay. I'll tell you a funny one. So I'm one of my dear friends is Ozzy Osbourne, right? And so every time he comes to town, he and his assistant, Sharon, come by and visit. So he has a favorite restaurant that's over at the Wynn. And went to a birthday party here and some other stuff. But anyway, so one night we got together for lunch. And I'm with Sharon and their assistant, Michael, and Ozzy. And we're in the restaurant. And Ozzy says, I'm going to get up to use the restroom. Mm-hmm. And I think his exact words were, anyway, so he gets up, and, you know, 5-6 minutes later, you know, we see him walking in, and all of a sudden, I hear Sharon, she's right next to me, and she yells, just like on the old TV show, Ozzy, you're sitting at the wrong beep table. So then he comes back, sits down, and he's exhausted because they had just done the show.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to him, and he's falling asleep. I go, wow, am I exciting? So Sharon leaves. This is an epic day. Oh. Sharon leaves, and later that evening we have dinner together, and so it's just, you know, Ozzy and I, and so we start to get up and walk through the casino, and a couple of people come up that wanted a picture during dinner, and sure. I said, listen, can you just wait? I felt like I was his bodyguard.
Right.
I'm like, you know, just hold off a second. So I said, you know, Ozzy, so tell me tell me what's that like for you? Do you want to be bothered? Should I be filtering these people? He goes, you know what, Goddard? He goes, every time I go out, I say to myself, I don't want one bleep person to talk to me. Like, I just want to be left alone. He goes, but if no one comes up and talks to me and asks for my autograph, I'm devastated.
That makes sense. It's so true. That is such that makes complete
that was
sense.
Fun. So we're walking him out to the, or towards his room or whatever. And as we're walking, of course, a fan comes running. Oh my God, it's Ozzy Osbourne. He goes, Ozzy. And he was exhausted. He goes, Ozzy, can you take a picture with me? And Ozzy says, no, about tomorrow. And he said, well, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. He goes, neither am I. Oh, Goodness. And you know what else was really, really odd? Because he's had lots of shows here, but go to the concert, right? And I'm in the green room with him, right, before the concert's about to start. And it's literally just him and I, right, chilling. And he's on his little treadmill or whatever, you know, he's staying in shape. And so it's all done. Someone knocks on the door. Okay, they're ready for you, right? So then they take him out. I hear the rumble of the crowd and all that. I you know, walk out to go watch the concert. And anyway, you know, there's 50,000 people there. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, you go back to the green room, and it is the weirdest thing. Because there's 50,000 people who are all screaming crazy, you know, and there's so much energy and so much excitement and all that. And then you walk into a room, and it's just like us sitting here, it's quiet.
Right.
And you're like, going, wait a minute, is that what happens next? Like, that was kind of like a...
Yeah.
It's a crazy world. A rock star
right.
is, I mean, it's a total dichotomy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know that people who are used to seeing you and have seen you mm-hmm. before may be surprised to see that you've cut your hair. You have a new short hairdo.
Yeah.
I know that goes back to the beginning of the year, but since we've been on lockdown...
It's very different. I'll tell you, you know, it was kind
I like
of a
it. I
thank
like it
you
too.
Very much. Thank you very, very much. Yeah, I've had long hair for forever, and I started growing my hair out for something called Locks of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of involvement. I people ask me what I do. If they don't know who I am, I say I'm a philanthropist. That mm-hmm. is what I do. It's the most important part of what I do. So I'd grown long hair, and I'd grow it out, and then I donate to Locks of Love. And then I was kind of like ready for a life change. A lot of things were going on in my life. I had gotten sober and just some big changes mm-hmm. and got married. Anyway, I thought, you know what? I thought with my long hair and all that, I'm sort of personifying, you know, the rock star. That's how I got labeled the rock star of the art world. It was just because I had long hair and people always assumed I'm Nikki Sixx. I don't know. Now I look like, you know, Chris Kardashian. But you know what I wanted to do? I really, honestly, I didn't just cut my hair short. I literally shaved my head bald.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted to humble myself. And I told Leanne, after getting sober, I thought to myself, you know, man, am I going to be fun again? Am I going to be as romantic? All these weird things go through your head during sobriety.
Yeah.
And so I had all these things attached to who I, you know, who I thought. I'm not even sure who I am.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really good change, obviously. And I'm still living, which is even better. but I wanted to do the same thing with the hair. It's like, you know, for 20 some years, I've been the rock star of the art world. And I thought, you know, if I took away all the glitz, if I took away, you know, I mean, back in the day when Chris Angel had his show on stuff, we were all about wearing all the jewelry, all the diamonds that we had. It was a bling world.
Sure.
We'd just come out of the, you know, other generation where, you know, the rappers and all that. So I don't know, is that you just wear all your grandma's jewelry, right? Like, you're wearing everything.
It's cool. Right.
And I really want to strip it down and say, you know what? I'm just going to be myself. I'm not going to hide behind, you know, will people still like my artwork if I don't look cool or whatever nonsense was in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really scary. I mean, I had no idea how scary it is to just, you know, cut all your hair off. And I'm loving it. I'm much more relaxed. You know, I'm getting up in years now. I have an AARP card. Mm-hmm. You know,
lots of life changes for you.
Yeah, lots.
But you look happy and healthy, and I mean, really, it's great.
No, thank you, Dan. I we've been really happy. It's just, you know, Sean and I were talking a little bit yesterday, and we're just saying how it's so funny. Like we can never predict how life's going to go. Obviously, it's not our first rodeo. Every time the world gets a little bit too cocky, 2008, 2009, we had, you know, the great, you know, bubble. Everyone's losing their houses, foreclosures. Business got way too comfortable, thinking life was always going to be good. Before that, even when we had the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
2001, there was 13 galleries at that time in the Aladdin, and only two of them survived.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's devastating. But I think, you know, at this time, it's time for another change. And you don't want to get too settled and think that you've got everything figured out. Mm-hmm. We're going through something, obviously, very unique to our times. You know, sort of, it could, I don't know if it's going to turn into like how it was during the Depression, mm-hmm. with businesses going under. And so all these disasters, we have microcosms of that in life, of our own little disasters, what we think are disasters. And then later on, we find out that unless that circumstance had happened exactly the way it did, mm-hmm. our lives would not be what they are today. For me, you know, I was an engineer for 12 years, a mechanical engineer. And when I got laid off, some people say fired, but when I got laid off,
mutual,
you know,
agreement.
It pushed me into finding something else that I enjoyed doing. And for me, it was art. And now I've been doing it for 20 years. But hindsight's always 20/20. Mm-hmm. And no matter if the tragedy is, you know, lost a few friends, you know, during this COVID, and it's heartbreaking. And I like to think to myself, bad or good, that there's a reason for everything happening. I really believe that. And, you know, when you look back, you go, wow, man, if I hadn't dated that crazy gal and known what I didn't want, I would never be so happy with my wife.
Right? No, it's true. It's true. It's all a pattern and a lesson, and we learn and we kind of construct the life that we want to be in. You know, especially as we get older.
Yes.
I'm in that category now.
Settle down.
As we get older.
We all are.
You know, like, but I think, you know, we're all sort of woven together in this invisible mm-hmm. fabric. I do think that things don't happen, say, you know, by accident. I really don't. I think, but you have to put yourself out there at the same time. Yeah. Obviously, like with the Raiders, I told them that I wanted to be involved and put that out there. Did I think I'd ever get to do a ticket myself? No. Mm-hmm. Did I ever think I'd be curating, you know, the biggest, baddest stadium in the world? No. But there's no way that I would have been able to do it the way that it should have been done, or the way that we're doing it now, if COVID hadn't hit and had I not stopped with the cruise lines and all that other stuff. So now it's the biggest blessing I've ever had in my life. And who saw it coming? Right. And that's how career changes happen. That's so many things in life are like, you know, are like that. We were just talking, my wife and I, the other day about just how we want to expose our kids to everything that we can as far as sports and, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. Because you never know, that one little kid who, you know, picks up a skateboard one day and rides it and turns out, you know, that's the love of his life. And then he's got his own TV show called Ridiculousness, you know.
Right.
You know,
yes.
I mean, it's just a skateboard. We have a friend of ours, you know, who's their daughter is a very, very talented equestrian rider. Mm-hmm. And I talked to her and I said, man, so how did you fall in love with a horse? She goes, well, you know, one day my dad just took me for a horseback ride. I fell in love, a new horse. I want to be around horses for the rest of my life. Wow. So, and that's how you guys are with microphones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They listen.
It really is.
You enjoy it.
We were like, we want to keep doing this, but we want to have longer conversations. And it's just like, it's been, you know, just as joyful for us too. You know, just something that we love. And you continue on, you just kind of do it in a little bit of a different way.
Well, I'm excited about what you guys are doing. I think that's super, super exciting. And it's, you know, I like the change too. I know for you guys, it's mm-hmm. got to be a little scary because it's different.
It is.
We can easily navigate our lives when that's what we do every day, even if it's chaos, like mm-hmm. we can navigate it. And the scary thing is opening up that door, walking into a dark room. And obviously, I think a mm-hmm. lot of good things are going to happen. You know, with you guys, you certainly have great taste in interviewees. I know that.
Well,
we do. Yep, we do. It's true. And this is only podcast, what, 30? Are we on 32?
31.
30,
wow.
32, 32. Early 30s.
32. Yeah, early 30s. So
early
you're right.
30s.
You're in the top 40.
Nice. Oh my gosh. I got a funny story for you.
Okay.
So I'm talking with a friend of mine, a very dear friend, actually. His name's Denny, and he's was the best man at my wedding and just super cool guy. Well, his son is obsessed with me. He's 8, 9 years old. Name is Elvis.
Oh, I love that.
And Elvis wants to know everything I'm doing. He knows the names of all my paintings, all this stuff. All of his book reports are Goddard, right? Mm-hmm. So I was cracking up. So Danny comes over and says, God, I got a story to tell. I go, yeah. He goes, I see my son, you know, he's working on his homework and he's kind of struggling a little bit. And so I go over and say, so what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm doing a book report. And he goes, oh, what's it about? He goes, well, it's about Michael Goddard. And he goes, oh, okay. Well, what's it called? He goes, it's the top 10 most famous artists in the world. And he goes, oh, okay. He goes, well, why do you look so sad? He goes, you know what, Dad? I can't find Michael Goddard in the top 10 artists. So he goes, so what'd you do? He says, so then I went to the top 20 artists in the entire world, and I still couldn't find him. Here's how his dad saved me. He goes, son, let me take a look at that list. Looks at it, he goes, oh, those are all dead artists. Oh. Michael Goddard is a living artist.
Oh, I love that.
And saved me. Oh,
oh my God. I love it. But, you gotta find the way that you fit in, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, goodness. But yeah, he's such a cute kid. He was over here the other day, and it was fascinating because I have a drum set in the room, and he wanted to play, and so we just let him have at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Now, anyway. Can you say, and I was just, you showed Sean and I a piece of art, and I won't say what it was, but that you thought about for maybe the stadium, but you said didn't fly through.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you can, we have social media, so we're going to, if we can show people that, if they go to our social, we can get some video of it. Are we allowed or no?
Fight Club. Can't
Fight
do
Club.
It.
See? No, okay. We're not getting that. But we'll show you other cool stuff as we... Well, I was just curious. I was just thinking, I loved what you did. We can't talk about it. We can't describe it.
Let me tell you something that you will enjoy. So there is... Raiders have a broadcast on YouTube called From the Ground Up.
Okay.
And we just filmed a few episodes where you can actually see the artists, the local artists that are contributing to the ticket art, and also some things with the stadium. But you get to see the art, say, before it was finished, and then we're going to take you into the manufacturing side of how we're doing what we're doing, and then a little bit about me curating it. But the cool thing is, yeah, a lot of things get shut down. And so I know this from dealing with Aristocrat Gaming. I had Goddard's Rockin' Olives, which is now Buffalo. But anyway, but you know, what I do is I come up with a whole bunch of designs, and you sit at a corporate meeting with, you know, 20 different people who all have 20 different opinions, and that's been very, very tough. Not everybody likes everything.
It's interesting.
And it is. I mean, for me, normally, it's like an ego check, because when I go out to a gallery or I paint whatever the heck I want to paint. When you're doing a commission for somebody, that's, you know, it's a completely different story. And, you know, sometimes you'll be sitting at the table and it's like passing around the broccoli. Like you're going, no, don't like it, don't like it. And then there's one guy in the end, I love it. And you're like, yes, you know, and same kind of thing. But the artists that we chose, like I said, not only the local artists, but they're really quite a diverse group. I can tell you, they all have amazing stories. One of the artists, his name is Vincent. He came here from the Ukraine and kind of started his life over. Huh. Sorry, okay. Started his life over here before becoming a struggling artist. Although he was schooled in Ukraine, he was a mortician and doing autopsies. He was a doctor. So the so he was dissecting bodies. By the way, the guy's incredible at anatomy.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I bet. Yeah.
But stories like that, and now here he is, a Las Vegas resident. You know, getting an opportunity like this and doing something that the whole world's going to be able to see. And it's story after story like that. There's another kid, Pete Castro, who's just an incredible artist. They're all local. They're all right here and all just from very, very diverse backgrounds, ethnicity. We have one of the girls, Diane Zitzka, did a picture of the Raiderettes. Man, it's really cool. So if you get a chance anywhere you can, because it's out, you can actually see the tickets. And it's exciting. And exciting because we're going to be sharing their stories through Raiders.com. So one of the things you'll be able to do, you'll be able to look at the ticket art, you'll be able to find out who did it, what other stuff, where you can see them here in town. And exciting for them. They all cried like babies. I'm still trying to get over that.
Oh, I bet. That's so cool. Well, we're so glad that things are going so well for you. Thank you for the contribution that you're making to pro sports and to Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And thank you for having us over for a little chat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And hopefully when all this sort of gets back to normal, I'll be back to doing my gallery shows and things like that. You guys can track me on my michaelgoddard.com or my Instagram or Facebook. And
since you're from here, I just had an idea, Sean. Let's take a quick little break. What if we come back with Michael and ask him his secret tip in Las Vegas? One of his favorite things.
I love
for
it.
Our listeners.
A special edition of our two tips is next on Vegas Revealed.
Love it.
Vegas Revealed is sponsored by Vegas.pizza. We know going out to eat may not be for everyone right now, and that's where Vegas.pizza comes in.
And it is so good. They have their own
homemade dough and sauce. The recipe comes straight from an old neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York. And if you've had New York pizza, you know it is the bomb. Vegas.pizza is only available for delivery apps like Uber Eats, Postmates, and Grubhub, but it's easy and it's delicious.
Oh, yeah. They've got the classic New Yorker, which who doesn't love just a classic pizza? It's so good. Or you can try something called the Barstool Pizza. That looks delicious. You know, we can't sit at the bar, Sean, and share it, but we can still have pizza at home or at work.
There's no better food group than pizza. Vegas.pizza. Find it on Uber Eats, Postmates, and Grubhub.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Vegas Reveal. This is usually time for Sean and Dana's secret tips, but since we have Michael Goddard here, we thought, let's ask him. He's lived here a long time, worked here. He's got a great group of people surrounding him. What do you love to do in Vegas? Is there anything that, you know, you might have
Goddard's
a tip?
Two tips.
Yeah. Right?
Well, listen, starving artists. So first of all, we need to talk about food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
One of my favorite restaurants in all of Vegas is Bootlegger's Bistro. Mm. And they were the first restaurant that we visited after all the craziness happened. And the cool thing is if you go in the restaurant, not only do they have amazing food, but a lot of times there's entertainment, but it's very, very safe. The tables are social distancing practice there. That's really, really great. But if you want a good meal, a really, really good meal, on the wall as you go out, there's a bunch of photographs of different celebrities there. Mm-hmm. And it's the only place you'll see in any magazine, anywhere else, where I'm actually above Carrot Top. We've been on magazines together, but he's always on top. So I got top billing there. And I was really excited about it. But anyways, that's not really the secret. But the secret is that the music that they have there is super, super exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the food is amazing. The other spot, a lot of people go up to Red Rock Canyon, which is great. It's open now. Super awesome. But my little secret is before you get to the turnoff where you go through the and go to the 13-mile, the exit right before that, if you go down that little street and follow it out till it ends, there's actually like a park in there that has all these really cool trails.
Oh.
It has a barbecue set up. So if you want a barbecue, there's tables and there's shade and some really neat little trails that aren't super intense. So it's easy to take the kids,
my
the whole
style.
Family on.
Me.
And and it's just before Red Rock Canyon. I told my wife, I was just riding around on my motorcycle, and I said, you know, hey, I just accidentally found this super cool spot. So we've been up there a few times, and it's amazing.
I've always wondered what was down that road.
Yeah.
And there's I always drive right by it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, some amazing houses in there too, like big houses. Mm-hmm. Like it's 10 minutes from the strip or 15 minutes from the strip, but these giant houses that have total seclusion, lots of horses and stuff, but there's a little park in there with all kinds of little hiking trails. I forget what it's called, but keep
I'll
it a
find
secret.
It.
There we
yeah,
go.
There you go.
I love it.
And for folks that don't know, Bootlegger, that's south of Mandalay Bay, closer to the Welcome to Las Vegas sign. So
true.
If you're looking to find that. So it's still in the
south
vicinity.
South Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still in the vicinity of the Strip. And I guess it could be considered the Strip in a way. It's still on Las Vegas Boulevard, right?
Yeah, just down a little bit.
Hey, listen, thank you so much for joining us. It's
My
been a
pleasure.
Blast.
You guys are welcome anytime. And I loved you before and doing stuff with you. But this has been a great experience, too, because we don't have the time to really talk about intimate things. We have,
mm-hmm.
you know, 3 5-minute segment, boom, 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 you're out. And I don't get to really like chit chat with you. So,
it's fun.
Yeah.
This is a blast.
It has. It's been a treat. Michael, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure, Sean. My pleasure. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can always catch us on social media. We're at Vegas Revealed pretty much across the board. Do you have sites you want to share, or we can just put them up?
Instagram, Goddard's Crazy Life. Mm-hmm. And most people misspell my name with two D's in the middle. It's G-O-D-A-R-D. Mm-hmm. And then on Facebook, I'm Official Goddard. And I think that's it. Oh, well, no, the post office has a thing about top 10 most wanted.
You're on that too.
Yeah, and a milk carton occasionally. So, yeah, that's a great way.
Oh, my gosh.
And michaelgoddard.com. I'm sorry. Yeah. michaelgoddard.com. That's a great way to look and see what I'm doing. And soon, raiders.com. Mm,
yes. Exciting. When the cat's out of the bag, we'll come over and check out everything inside
Love
the stadium.
It.
Right.
We'll see you next week on Vegas Reveal. The desert sky is cold, but the neon lights burn bright.